Acknowledging us tonight, Lord, as each one of us wave our flag to you, Lord. And Lord, I know many are tired tonight. They've worked hard today, Lord. And they fought trials. There's been battles, Lord. But Lord, they're here. They're here for you, Lord. And we thank you for coming and being with us and having our little praise here tonight, Lord. And we just ask you as we enter into the word tonight, Lord, that you would help me, Lord, to be able to just be a yielded vessel, Lord, that you could use. And Lord, I ask you that you would just feel welcome in this sermon that's going to be spoken, Lord, because I don't want to just preach a sermon, Lord, but I want it to be a message of you. Lord, I just want to be the conduit between you and your people, Lord. And I just ask that you would help me, Lord, to just be nothing at all but what you just, you're just a yielded vessel, Father. We love you. Be with us in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Go in and let a musician be seated. Kind of privileged to be in the house of the Lord tonight. And you know, Brother Tony and I, we've agreed on something that one of the hardest things about a sermon a lot of times is putting a title on it, going back and forth. And I've just all through the week, and it's, I was going to name it the spiritual discernment. And as I was back at the office, it just keeps going up, well, spiritual reset, that's really what it is. So, you know, I'm just a man that's yielded to the Lord. And I just ask you that you just say, Lord, what is it you're trying to speak to me tonight? And, you know, I think that's so important. That's because, you know, it's so easy to focus on titles and things like that. And sometimes you just say, Lord, what is it you want to say tonight? Amen. You know, and just listen. And when you come to service, you know, it's a lot of times you can have a preconceived idea when you hear a title. Well, this is the way he's going. But a lot of times the Lord may be going a different direction with that. Amen. So just ask you that. I want to say thank you for your diligence to come to your post of duty, you know, to worship the Lord. Because, you know, it takes people to make a service. You know, it takes people to make a function, to work. And as Brother Tony mentioned about being a joyful giver, there's so much truth to that. You know, and I want to thank you for that. Because you know what? We see you. We see the times whenever you're pressing through there and you've got that smile on your face. And, you know, Elijah fights trials, you know, through the day. And don't even have time to change clothes. Just come straight here from smelling like diesel or oil and things like that.
Right.
And we thank you for that.
Amen.
You know what? Because you know what? That's a sacrifice. Yeah. And you know, and he wasn't born in a family with a dad or a mom that's gifted at singing, things like that. He's just taking that ball and just running with it. And I say, yeah. God bless you for that.
Amen.
You know, and so we want to speak to you tonight on spiritual reset. And I want to go to the scriptures in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 through 12. And she'll have these on the multimedia. And let's just read this in the name of the Lord. He says, but as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, and we might know the things that are freely given of God. And I would like to read one quote. He says, and that's the way the human is. I don't care how intellectual you are. We still got canary brains because we're only human beings. God's known by the Spirit and by the revelation of the Holy Ghost. We will never be able to understand Him through intellectuals. You might talk and have intellectual meetings and psychology, but as much as you want to, and the people will never know God. They can't. You can explain and say the people that cry and turn their cheek are just the old-fashioned, but that's the man that's reflecting Christ in his life. A man who is humble, a man who will walk with God, will act like Jesus. Amen. Let's just bow our head just again. Father, as we enter your word now, we just ask you that you will take absolute control of this service now. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. The greatest thing you could ever do is walk with God. And you know, if you walk with somebody, if they're walking with somebody, if they walk together very much, they'll usually talk alike. They'll tell stories alike. They'll act alike. And that's the way it is with walking with the Lord Jesus. Amen. You know, if we are walking with Jesus, then we should act like Him. You believe that? Amen. The same Spirit. No. I'm going to read just a quote. We'll try to get into what we're trying to say tonight. He says, not long ago, I was reading or I seen a place where a girl was putting these dials on a watch, dipping it in the radium, and she happened to lick this brush to her tongue, and it killed her. Years and years later, they dug up the skull, and they put their scopes in their ears and things and suck it down in the skull, and you could hear the radium, burr, 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 the noise he was making. It has no end. It just keeps moving on and on and on, and there is no end to radium. It keeps moving on. After years and years and years, and the skull was nothing but a white bone, the radium was still moving through there because she dipped it into her mouth. A portion of it like that, and the radium moves on. How much more will the eternal God, through His Godhead being and the spoken powers of His Word, when He speaks His Word, times will change, people will change, nations will change, worlds will change, but that Word moves on and on forever and ever because it's God's thought before it was expressed. Hallelujah. You say amen. Whether a man chooses to walk with God or not, the Word has and will continue to move on. And I really grab these words of what I'm saying. Whether people believe it or not, the Word still moves on. Amen. When the children of Israel had the pillar of fire in front of them, whether they wanted to follow it or not, it still moved. Amen. Amen. Just because a man will go into his basement and refuse to acknowledge there's a sun that brings life, and it's not going to stop that sun from benefiting those that are get themselves subject to that sunlight. You know, if a man could go in the basement and say, I don't believe there's a sun. I don't believe there's nothing out there. And cover his eyes and I don't believe it. I don't believe it. The sun still moves on. Right. And they that heed themselves to that sun reap the benefits of being under that sunlight. And it's the exact same thing with the gospel. There's many people today, majority of the people today, that just do not believe the word of God. They just don't believe this. You know what? I don't believe it matters. I don't believe this matters. I don't think it matters how you dress. It don't matter if you cut your hair or not. It don't matter if you do these things. It don't matter. It don't matter what you're doing. You're covering your eyes up. And even though you're saying that, the word is still moving right. And still, and they that are giving themselves to that light, they are being perfected. Yeah. God is baking the greenness out of the seed. God is bringing them to perfection. That's why we do what we do, brother and sister. That is why we do, as far as believing this word, getting on and pressing on every day. The reason we're doing that, we're allowing God to bake the greenness out of our life and bring us to perfection. Amen? Mm-hmm. Brother Rem says, the main thing is if we can find where God's word belongs in our life. I want to read that again. The main thing is if we can find where God's word belongs in our life. God sets times, time limits, and then it works all to that time. Many of them, before the coming of the Lord Jesus, there was many false things raised up and said, this is the Messiah. Many false things taking place, according to the scriptures, just before the coming of the Lord Jesus. And people try to do it within themselves. They try to make God's word fit in their program. But you've got it vice versa. You've got to fit in God's program. We find that that is true. Amen? Amen. Moses knew that he was called of God to be a deliverer. And it's one thing to know the will of God for your life, and it's another thing to know the timing of God. Because timing is just as important as knowing your position. Right. Brother Brown talked many times about the hat and a vision. He said there was a hat put in a certain place. When the hat was put in a certain place, then he prayed for somebody, and at that moment they were healed. They received their healing. He could not go take the hat and put it on top of the chair and say, okay, now I will pray, because it would not work. You have to wait for the timing of God, and when the timing is exactly right, now we can pray. Then he could pray and he'd get the benefits. That's exactly so important about timing. Is so important. Amen? It's so important. We can't move the hat. God, we have to wait for it to be put in its place, and at that time it'll work, because God is precise. And an artist is unveiled through his art. If he was a sloppy artist, you would see that characteristic in his artwork, that this man is a sloppy artist. But God's creation is so perfect in everything in his creation. You can tell by years and thousands of years, it's so perfect. And it's because God is precise. He is precise in everything that he does. And I felt the Lord the last few times I spoke to you, I keep coming back to this, that God is so precise that he causes the universe to edify itself, and it works together to bring life, to keep life. And if God can do that in a universe, to keep animal life, plant life, human life alive, how much more can God keep his church life alive? Because God's got a church, and a church is a called out. You know, so if you're not called out of nothing, you're not the church. You're just a group. You know, and that's what makes us the church, is we are called out of something. So many times it would be good to ask yourself, what has God called me out of?
Right.
Because if you've never been called out of anything, you have a good question now. Have I really been born again?
Right. Right.
Have I really accepted Jesus Christ? Am I really the church? I don't mean the bride, but bear with me. We should be able to look in our experience and say, what has God called me out of, and where has God taken me? Because there should be a progression of maturity in our life.
That's
amen?
Right.
His creation works in harmony, and everything has a place, and everything has a position. And in order for anything to work right, it must be positionally placed. So however, not just being positionally placed, but it must be on time. Right? So you can have a watch that has everything positionally placed inside of it, but if it's the wrong time, what good does that watch do you? Brother and sister, if an automobile has all the mechanics on it, but it's not got the right timing, what good's it going to do you? All that vehicle will do is sit there and crank, 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 crank. All the watch is doing is cranking, 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 doing all the motions, but it's not serving its purpose.
Right. Right.
We want to serve God's purpose.
Right.
Moses wanted to serve God's purpose. Brother and sister, you want fulfillment in your life? Serve God's purpose. You are a son of God. You are a daughter of God. That is your purpose in this life. That is your purpose, is to radiate who he is.
Amen.
Amen. That's where you'll get your fulfillment. That's where you'll get your happiness. And we're speaking tonight about a spiritual reset. Sometimes I believe we need a spiritual reset. Amen. A car that sits there and just cranks, you become cranky.
My kids always say, Dad, you got the dad jokes.
You got a car right there, all it does, you don't start, it just cranks. It's cranky. And you know, church can be like that. People can be like that. Family can be like that.
Right.
Cranky. You know why you're cranky? All you're doing is cranking, and you ain't starting. You've got no dynamics working in your life.
Right.
Listen to me, you get the dynamics of God working in your life, happiness just happens. Works just happen. When you get life, fruits just happen. Life just happens because you've got the life on the inside of you.
Right.
But if you're trying to do it yourself all the time, you're just going to wear yourself out.
Right.
Just as silly as somebody going out and taking duct tape or some kind of zip tie or something and putting pears on a dead pear tree and saying, look, I'm a pear tree. Oh yeah, you may be able to look alive, but you're working yourself to death because it's not original.
Right.
But if you can just rest in who he is, rest in who God has called you to be,
amen.
Let this mind come to you, brother and sister, you will automatically bear the life and you won't even realize you're doing
amen.
It.
Amen.
Amen. You allow a believing people go a while without the dynamics of God. Catch what I'm saying here. You allow a believing people to go a while without the dynamics of God working in their midst, they will get cranky.
Yeah.
I've seen it in my own life, brother and sister. If I go a while without having God moving in my life, I get cranky. Because you know what? I'm allowing this guy right here will begin to overtake me. But whenever you can put this guy under subjection, brother and sister, and you say, because you know what? Reason, you know why a person would get cranky that way?
Because an eagle is not made to walk around on the ground. An eagle was created to fly.
Amen.
An eagle was created to soar into the heavens because that's what he's called to do. And listen to me, a son and daughter of God, you are not called to walk like everybody else in this world. If you walk like everybody else in this world, like a nominal Christian, and I don't mean this critical in everybody. I'm trying to minister to you now, okay? If you try to walk like just a nominal Christian, like everybody else, you will not be happy because you are not doing what you're called to do. An eagle is called to soar into the heavens, brother and sister. You're called to fly with God. You're called to walk by faith. You're called to see. You are called to walk by faith. And Satan will try so hard to get you where you're just walking by your mind, you're just going through life, you're just staggering. Things will happen in your life when things just have to happen. No, sometimes things will happen so you will exercise your faith.
Right.
Sometimes we need to reset, a spiritual reset, to a realize. We go back to what is it that, or why we do what we do. You take a husband that just bogged down with just working and doing the things of life and just doing the providing and doing all these things and try to be a, you know, the reason he goes to work, he wants to be a good husband. He wants to be a good dad. He wants to be. The reason a mom does what she does is because she wants to be a good mom. Is that right? But if you get so bogged down with just the work, you lose the joy in what you're doing.
Amen.
And listen to me, when you lose the joy in what you're doing, you're not happy anymore.
Yeah.
And you'll begin to bear that on the outside. You know what? The greatest thing you can do is be happy. You know what? Because we're happy, it brings healing in your body. Just being happy. But the Satan will bog you down. And that's why we need to do a spiritual reset sometimes. When we go back to what is it that makes me happy?
Right.
What is it that makes you, as a husband, what is it that makes you happy as a husband? When you can see her eyes and you see a certain look that she makes in you, it brings that spark back. Like, my goodness, I love this woman. You know, the same way with a woman looking at her husband. You'll see a certain aspect of it, like, my goodness, I love that man. You'll see something in your child. You'll see a fire in his eye and talking about the Lord or seeing like that. And you're like, my goodness, I'm proud of that boy. I'm proud of that girl. When you see the characteristic in your brother and your sister and in your pastor and your song leader, whoever it is, brother and sister, when you can look at them and say, my goodness, I love that person. I appreciate that person. Because whenever you're able to do that, it brings back the joy of fellowship.
Amen.
It brings back the joy of fellowship of who you are.
Amen.
Of what you're called to be. It's so easy to get bogged down with just cares of life.
Uh-huh.
Not bad stuff. Cares of life.
Right.
To where you lose your joy.
Amen.
We need a spiritual reset sometimes. And listen to me, in the church, brother and sister, we need a spiritual reset. It's so easy to look and say, Of all the fundamentals of the message of everything that you're losing, the joy of it is my God loves me.
Right.
I have a Savior that come looking for me.
Amen.
That makes me happy.
Amen.
That brings my joy. Amen.
Amen.
I didn't mean to go down that long rabbit trail, but there we went. You allow God to put you back on time, and you'll go right back to having the dynamics again. You just have to let God do it. And sometimes, that's why I love to go fishing. That's why I love to go outdoors. You've got to find something that you can do that you makes you happy to where you're not thinking about nothing but what that thing is and let that mind come to you.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it may be sewing. Sometimes it might be reading a book. As long as it's a good book. You find that little something that where God, you can get that a long time where you shut everything else off. And you allow that presence to come down and let God talk to you. Because I said something the other day, and it keeps coming back to me. You take a spring, it pushes out all the trash automatically.
Yeah.
But if you allow hogs to keep getting in the spring, it will dirty up the spring.
Mm-hmm.
Brother and sister, get rid of the hogs, and the spring will clear itself.
Amen.
And if you do what I'm talking about tonight, that Holy Spirit, those dynamics, it will come automatically.
Amen.
Your love for your wife will come automatically. Your love for your kids' love for your dad, for your mom, for your pastor, for your brother, for your sister. We got to get the stinky waters out.
Amen.
Yes, amen.
And, you know, someone talks about how you got to clean the spider webs, and here it comes, a little while later, the spider webs come again. You clean the spider webs, and here comes the spider webs again. Eventually, you need to kill the spider.
Right.
You need to kill the thing that's causing the problem.
That's right.
And that's what we call maturity. How do you want to be mature?
Amen.
Sure. You know, one of the greatest things, a young person, I remember I did the same thing. When I started driving, I'd park in that parking spot. You know what I'd do? I'd talk to Bussy. See how straight I parked in that parking spot? Come on. You know what I'm talking about. Every one of us done it. See how straight I parked in that? See how crooked everybody else is? They're crooked in their parking spots, but I'm straight. They parked too far over the line, or they didn't park far enough, but I'm straight. And as a young person, you can do that, and there's nothing wrong with that. There's a time for that. There's a season for that. But after a while, I'm not in my parking spot because I'm busy with life and I'm moving. It's so easy as a young Christian. Look at me, I'm parked right. I'm dressed right. My hair's right. They're crooked. They're not parked straight. They're not doing right, but look at me. I'm parked right. You're focused on everything. You're looking at, look at me. I parked right. I did good. And you're saying, and the person that ain't parked exactly right, a lot of times it's because he got late. He's at the grocery store. He worked late. He's trying to rush in. He's trying to get the groceries. He's trying to get to the house or the woman or vice versa because they are living life. Listen to me, life is messy. A lot of times, people aren't parked right because life is a struggle.
Right.
You've got screaming kids, you've got bills you got to pay, you've got all these things, and maybe a person ain't parked exactly right in this life, so to speak.
Right.
Give them a break.
Amen.
How many times do we want a break?
Amen.
If you make a mistake, or you snap, or you say something out of tone, or you do something wrong, you want everyone to forgive you? But, you know, it's so easy that we point at them. Look at this mistake they did. Look at this mistake they did. When you do that, you become a bitter, bitter, bitter appearing person.
Amen.
And you may not even mean to.
Mm-hmm.
My kids ain't never going to talk about parking ever again. We all did it. I did it. I was the chiefest of them. I said, you see how straight I parked that truck, that car? Perfectly straight. I've been driving long enough, I don't even think about it. As long as I'm in the lines. Now, if I'm not in the lines, I'll go back and straighten it up. So Philippians 2, 5 through 8. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. I'm going to say this. Don't work it up. Just humble yourself and let it come.
Right.
You know, the best way you can get back on beat or back on time if you're doing something is watch somebody else that's on time. And then you just get on time with them. Now, there's a balance to that. Because you don't want to, they that commend themselves with themselves, it's
right.
Not wise. But you know what? There's the perfect example for us to get back on time is to look at Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And how he did it. He walked humbly.
He
was equal with God, but he did not walk around like, I'm equal with God, bless God. He walked humble and made no reputation of himself.
Right.
Yeah.
And because he did that, and the reason he did that, brothers and sisters, is because Jesus was not counting on doing the healings himself. Think spiritually what I'm talking about. Jesus was walking humble to the Father of what the Father would show him, and then the Father would do the healing.
Amen.
And that's exactly the model for us. We must walk humble before the Lord.
Amen.
Make no reputation of ourselves. Make nothing of that. I am obedient to the Father of what he shows me. I want to walk humble. Make no reputation of myself. And then one by one, the Lord will provide. And he will move. He'll split waters.
Amen.
He'll slay giants. He'll pay this bill. He'll bring this healing here. God
Amen.
Will do every one of these things all because we're obedient to him.
Amen.
I'm going to give a testimony. I'm going to share with my brother Tony because it just comes to mind right now. I remember when I had the hog farm. I was trying to serve the Lord, trying to do what I needed to do, trying to provide for my family. And I was castrating a hog, a little baby hog, a little piglet. Terrible thing, I know. It's in some old books. But it's part of the job. This little piglet, you hang him upside down. I was fixing to cut him with my scalpel. And the guy that was working for me, he walked over there, grabbed me by the hand or by the shoulder because he wanted to talk to me right when I was going to do that. And I took that scalpel and cut all the way through my thumb, straight through the middle, all the way through it, all the way through the fingernail. And my thumb just went straight sideways, just like that. And blood started going out just like crazy immediately. Completely did not expect this to happen. And I remember I went to the restroom, and I started seeing white, like fuzzy, like I'm fixing to pass out. And the only thing I knew to do was put my hand over my thumb and say, "Lord Jesus, help me." And he said, "Lord, please help me, Lord." And God's my witness, pulled my hand up and completely stopped bleeding in the thumb. I didn't go up there and say, "Bless God, I'm the bride of Christ. Don't you know who I am?" Speak that. No. I was humble before the God, because I didn't know what I was going to do. I was going to pass out. I said, "Oh, Lord Jesus, help me." And in my midst of my trial, the Father met the need. Listen to me, brother and sister. Don't worry about your needs. Don't worry about your financial stress. Don't worry about your healings. Don't worry about all the things that you're worried about. Trust Him. Okay?
Amen.
Listen to what I'm saying. Trust Him as your Savior.
Amen.
Trust Him as your shepherd. Trust Him. Because whenever you say, "Lord, I want you to be the Lord of my life," that is where you can rest in Him, because you trust Him that He's going to protect you. He is going to provide for you. If you just as sure as a little lamb, just as sure as a little lamb, he has nothing in himself to fight off his enemies. The only thing he can do is trust his shepherd.
Amen.
And listen to me, we got to have that same kind of confidence in God and His Word. And say, "Lord, I accepted you as the Lord of my life. No matter what I'm going through, I want to trust you."
Amen.
The more we'll trust Him, the more He'll do stuff for us.
Amen.
But a lot of times, God, He can't do the stuff because we're holding on to it. We're hanging on. If you will let go and say, "God, I'm trusting you,"
amen,
He'll provide for you. Amen. To walk with someone, you've got to walk in the same beat as they are. And Jesus recognized He was equal with God, but He made no reputation of Himself. Let's go to St. John 5:19. It says, "Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of Himself but what He seeth the Father do. For what things soever He doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise." Jesus did not go around and saying He's the Messiah. Jesus walked humble before God, and God vindicated who He was. Listen to me, brother and sister. You want to know you're the bride of Christ? Just walk humble before the Lord, and
Amen.
He will vindicate you.
Amen.
My wife does not have to go around and tell everybody she's my wife. I will vindicate that she's my wife. You catch what I'm saying? If you want the manifestations of the Holy Ghost, because we know that's not the desire of you. I want to raise the dead. I want to do this. We want to make Him happy.
Right.
If you will walk humble with that, brothers, let that spiritual reset say, "You know what? My purpose is this life. My purpose is that I want to please the Lord."
Amen.
Listen, in your marriage, if you want a good marriage, listen to what I'm saying. If you want a good marriage, you let your focus be, "I want to minister. I want to lay my life down for my spouse. I want to, a wife, I want to make that man feel like the strongest man in the world. I want to say, I believe in your vision, I believe in what you're doing," because the more you can make him comfortable in who he is and the position that he's in, he will be more effective, because he's not doubting who he is. The greatest thing a wife can do for a husband is whenever he doubts himself, is you can lift his arms back up and say, "You are God in this house," so to speak. "You're the Lord of this house. We love you. We appreciate your leadership. We appreciate what you're doing. You make that man feel in the full capacity of what he is, and he will act that way." Listen, man, God's the same way, brother and sister. If you will make God feel like God, he will act like God.
Amen.
But you know what? You can't doubt him all the time. And say, "Well, why ain't God doing things?" You've got to believe him.
Amen.
I remember I told you many times before how at the time I felt so beat down. I didn't know. I felt like I couldn't pull myself out of my bootstraps. I felt so defeated. Came to the house, and my wife had the favorite meal, and we sit down at the table, and I felt just as beat down as can be, and I think my wife said, "Daniel, did you work hard?" Hannah said, "My daddy always works hard." Yeah, I do always work hard. Malachi, or one of the kids, said, "Daddy's got the biggest muscles in the world." Yeah, I do have the biggest muscles in the world. My wife says, "You know what? He's the most handsome man in the world." Yeah. I am the most handsome man in the world. My family, my body, my unit, we work together. They saw that this is my headship, and he feels defeated. And I know who he is. And I want to pull the strings of his heart to say, "Hey, you're awesome."
Amen.
The best thing you can ever do whenever you see someone that, hey, you remind them, "You're awesome." That's the greatest thing you can do for a person. If you're going to a dollar store, if you're going to a gas station, you're going to a Walmart, and you see someone beat down, or they're parked crooked, so to speak, the best thing you can do is say, "Hey, you are an awesome person."
Amen.
You are important in this life.
Yes.
I see the good qualities in your life, and all I want to commend you for that.
Amen.
Sometimes a pat on the back of somebody is all they need.
Amen.
You can be there. You could be their reason for smiling that day.
Amen.
You could be their reason for not committing suicide that day. How? Because you encouraged that person.
Amen.
Listen to me. That is your purpose in this life. You are not to be someone's judge. You're the mercy seat.
Amen.
You're going to say, hey, I serve a God that answers prayer.
I serve a
God that comes and talks to me because I fall flat on my face. He picks me right back up every single time.
Amen.
You allow somebody else. You fall down? Yes, absolutely. I fall flat on my face and I say, oh, God, help me. And that gives me an opportunity to say, you know what? Just like in the Old Testament, they didn't even look at the worshiper. All they did was look at the lamb. They inspected the lamb because when that lamb was accepted, they were accepted, brother and sister. That's exactly the way it is with us every day of our life. We are accepted because he is worthy. He made us worthy.
Amen.
And we need to keep our spiritual recess. And that's why I am who I am.
Amen.
That's why I'm a victorious son of God. Not because I don't make mistakes, but because he don't make mistakes.
Amen.
He's perfect.
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
Brother and sister, let's live for somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to what I'm saying. You live for somebody. I want to encourage you. You live for somebody. When you see somebody down, pick their head up.
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
Pat them on the back. Say, hey, you're awesome. Amen.
Amen.
Moses was trying to deliver the people in himself, and a man has to humble himself or be humble so God can use him. Moses had to get humble, but he never lost his calling of who he was. So in Ecclesiastes 3:1, it says, to everything there's a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. Moses was a man that was called of God. He had the mechanics to be the great deliverer, and with all the efforts, all that he had to show for everything that he did, all he had was once through Egyptian for what he did. Moses had an ambition. I'm going to deliver the children of Israel. I'm going to do this for God. I'm going to do this. And all he had to show for it was one dead Egyptian.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to me. It's because he was trying to do it in himself. And a lot of times in our Christian life, we want to affect lives. We want to do that things. But what have we got? One slew Egyptian.
Right.
It's because we're trying to do it in ourselves.
Reset
yourself and say, you know what? My median of who I am is I'm saved by grace.
Amen.
That's the joy, brother and sister.
Mm-hmm.
That was my joy when I gave my heart to the Lord. That's my joy today.
Mm-hmm.
It's because God saved me.
Amen.
God cleansed me. God opened my eyes. God showed me my truth. Because listen, it don't matter how much truth you've got. If you're walking by just that and this right here in your head knowledge, you're going to get puffed up. And you're not going to be humble anymore. You'll become arrogant, and you may not realize that you are, but the people that are listening to you around you, they're not saying, wow, that's the mercy seat. They're saying, that's a judgmental people.
Mm-hmm.
It's so easy that while you're in the midst, I know I'm really hitting on some stuff here, but I'm telling you, it's the truth. There's so many times whenever we have an opportunity to be a ministry to the people around us, but we're walking with our heads so high, we're talking about all this deep stuff, that we're missing an opportunity that we could be an encouragement to somebody.
Right.
Listen to me, we're to be Jesus.
Amen.
We're to be the mercy seat.
Yeah.
You kids that are in college right now, you're to be the mercy seat there.
Right.
You're to show, hey, in the midst of every bit of this, I'm pressing on. Sometimes it's whenever you're going through the trial and you feel like you're just getting beat to pieces and you're keeping your eyes on what's important. I'm a son of God. I'm a daughter of God. I'm walking with God. His spirit is with me. I believe his word. I'm pressing on. I'm pressing on. I'm pressing on to the high calling of my Lord. And you don't feel a thing. All you know is I'm walking with God.
Amen.
All I know is his word is right. His word is true. I believe him and I'm following him the best I can. I'm pressing on.
Amen.
And listen to me, when you're doing that, brother and sister, you don't even realize you're chasing devils left and right out of your way. And you don't even realize that and you're preaching the gospel to a people. Not a judgment message, a mercy message. Because they're seeing, I saw them. They were going to try this, that, going to do everything possible. Everything that should knock them out, but they keep getting back up.
Amen.
And they keep marching forward.
Mm-hmm.
Are you catching what I'm saying tonight? Our purpose in this life, brother and sister, is you walk in, you are the mercy seat.
Mm-hmm.
That is your purpose. That is your mission. Moses had to come to a humbling spot where he finally met that pillar of fire, where that fire changed who he was, and he was no longer going with what his own ambition. He realized then, hey, I can't do this. That's the greatest revelation we can catch sometimes. I can't do this. Maybe you want to affect, you want to change someone's life.
Amen.
Listen to me, that's your purpose. Don't lose that focus. That is your purpose in this life. Is when you go to family's house, you go to someone else's house, you can bring light to the situation.
Yeah.
You can bring peace to the situation. But listen to me, you've got to avoid the bickering and the fighting.
Drama.
The drama. That's the word I'm trying to think of. Because listen to me, that devil will try to bring that drama, and he'll try to use the word to do it. That's what I'm saying. That devil will try to use the word to bring drama in your life because he'll cause you to start, you're talking about this scripture, this scripture, this scripture. Listen to me. The scriptures are used for edification.
Amen.
Edification. But if you're arguing about that, you are not edifying the body. You're hurting the people around you. You're not helping anybody.
Right.
Whenever you're doing it, you're coming to an argument. You will leave thinking you got your point across. You'll leave thinking you got your point across and nothing's been done.
Yeah.
The best thing you can do is just, hey, I'm just going to give a testimony. Okay? I was at work through the day. A couple of men they wanted to bring questions. And you got to look back at the motive. Sit back and look at the motive of why questions are asked. Because there's sometimes people really want to know truth, and there's sometimes the motive is they just want to argue with you.
Right. Right.
And I had someone that was bringing it through there. He said, what about this? What about this? What about this? And I could see what he was doing, and I said, you know what? And I just stepped back. Spiritual speaking, and it's like, you know what? This ain't nothing but a devil. This ain't nothing but a spirit trying to cause a friction. And when I ask Elijah and Malachi, come here. In the midst of the friction trying to come through, had someone on my right side and someone on my left side. And both are coming at different angles, hitting at that. And I believe the Lord just showed me, I just reached over and grabbed both of them. I said, hey. I love you. I'm not right. You're not right. He's right.
Amen.
And I felt that peace of God just drop right down inside that. I said, you are exactly right. Listen to me. Whenever you got the drama trying to come down inside your home or wherever it's at, you acknowledge this ain't nothing but a spirit. You conquered that spirit by love.
That's right.
Hey. You're dealing with your spouse, you're dealing with somebody, and you're feeling that drama, hey, I love you. You're dealing with your son, you're dealing with your daughter, it don't matter who it is, hey, I love you. And I want to make it. And I want you to make it. I'm not right, you're not right. He's right.
Amen.
Amen. Brother and sister, the greatest thing that you have in this life is love.
Amen.
It will conquer more devils.
Amen.
My wife and I, there was a time we had an argument. No! We did! Believe it or not, yeah! We're human just like you are. You know, we were going back one another, and most of the time you ever have a bicker, this is a long time ago too. We get along really well, by God's grace. Devil probably fine, be prepared. We have a great marriage. I thank God for it. But I remember there was a time, brother and sister, that bickering and fighting was trying to come through there, and we didn't know what we were fighting for. And you know what we did? We just hugged one another. And said, I love you. And she looked at me, I love you. I love you. I love you. I'm going to tell you something. That little bickering, that little turmoil, it was a spiritual reset.
Right.
You get a computer that keeps messing up all the time, best thing you can do is reset it. Turn it off, turn it on, and that thing will boot up and everything starts working fine. Listen to me. Sometimes we just need to do a spiritual reset.
Amen.
You start feeling bickering and fighting with your brother or your sister. You've got odd feelings. Listen to me. You've got odd feelings between a brother and a brother, sister and a sister. You go up there and give that person a hug. And you look them in the eye and you think to yourself, I love you. You be genuine. I love you. I want to make it. And I want you to make it. I want us to keep pressing on. Because you know what? There cannot be any schisms in this body. There's got to be a unity, and a unity comes from love.
Amen.
That's why we appreciate one another. And the best thing you can do in this life is make a person feel that they are appreciated. You are appreciated, and I value you. I value who you are. I value your purpose, and you are so important. And when you got people that are missing church, brother and sister, it's our job, it's our ministry to reach out to them.
Amen.
Hey, I missed you. I missed you in service today. I missed you. I missed how you're singing. Even if it's Brother Daniel. Brother Daniel, I missed your singing. Amen. Got one amen. Well, I don't know what that from Daniel. That's a little far-fetched. Listen, when we get on the other side, and we're going to stand. We get on that other side, you're going to hear the awfulest singing of Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound. You're going to say, praise God, Brother Daniel made it. There ain't nobody can sing that bad. Brother Daniel made it. Because you know what? That's my focus. That is my mission in this life. I want to make it on the other side.
Amen.
And I want to take as many people as I possibly can.
Amen.
I want you to put your focus, your spiritual reset of love. I want you to take a moment and think about the people that you love. Mm-hmm. And how much have you been showing them? How much have you been telling them? Because there's so many times that we will think, I love that person. I sure appreciate that person, but you never tell them. Until you're at a memorial service. And then it all comes to reality. Oh my goodness. So many times I wanted to tell them that I love them. So many times I meant to tell them how much I appreciate them, but I never told them. I feel such a heaviness to say this to my brother and sister. We don't know. We don't know. You tell your mama and your daddy you love them. Tell your brother and your sister, I love you. Tell your pastor, I love you. Tell your wife, tell your husband, I love you. Take those moments. Don't wait till that memorial service. Do it now.
Amen.
Take advantage of the time now and say, hey, I love you.
Amen.
Amen. Let's just all bow our heads just a moment. And whether you're here or you're on the multimedia, I want to do something I've never done before. I want you with your head bowed. I want you to think about the people that you love. And I want you to think about the ones I have not told them how much I love them. I have not expressed to them how much I appreciate their sacrifice. I want you to take a moment in just absolute sincerity. And now let's pray for them. Heavenly Father, we humble ourselves before you tonight. And every one of us, Lord, we have no desire to make a reputation of ourselves, Lord. We just humble ourselves before you, Lord, thinking of the ones that we love and the ones we have not told them how much we love them, how much we appreciate them, and expressed them how much we love them. Lord, I want to do better. Lord, I want to be a better son of God, a better wife, a better husband, a better daughter, God, Lord. I want to do a spiritual reset tonight, Lord. And I want to value the people in my life. Lord, I don't want to wait for that memorial service. Lord, I want to do it now. Oh God, I'm asking you that you would walk into this place right now, Lord. Lord, if you're in there in their living rooms or wherever they're at, Lord, I ask you to come right now, Lord, that you would feel welcome, Lord. That you fill the void in our heart, Lord. Forgive us for the times, Lord, that we didn't make that extra call, Lord, or go that extra mile, or just go put our arm around somebody and say, hey, I love you. Oh, God, I ask you that you would come tonight, Lord. Lord, put an anointing of ministry in our hearts, in our lives, Lord. That is our focus, Lord Jesus, that we can edify your body, Lord. Everywhere we go, that we would be that light. That we would be that love. That we would be that expression of mercy, Lord. Oh, God, I ask you to come tonight. Be in our midst tonight, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. I ask Brother Tony to come. Brother Tony, can you help me sing that song, Mercy? Rewrote my life. Let's focus on this tonight, just for a few minutes.
Several things that Brother Daniel said that I really, really enjoyed, and you know, he's our purpose here. We are here to radiate what He is.
Amen.
That's what our job here is here on this earth, is to radiate. You know, no matter what creature it is, if it's alive, it expresses the fact that it's alive.
Amen.
It might only be a worm in the dirt,
yeah,
but that worm in the dirt has a certain expression that proves what it is.
Yeah.
And if we're Christians, hey, it just naturally comes,
yes,
right? You don't have to, that's why Brother Brandon said it so many times, you don't have to manufacture wool as a sheep. A sheep, he eats, he drinks, he walks around, he sleeps, and guess what? Wool comes.
That's right.
Right? And so it's so simple. As Christians, we just be a Christian, and that life, you know, like he said, you just please the Lord. Just walk to please Him, and He will come and say, hey, that's my life.
That's right.
You know how He does that? By answering your prayer, by letting your presence touch lives.
Yes.
That's the way He does it. That's, He's testifying that you belong to Him, because but you have to believe Him. Amen. And so He's talking about eagles. We're made to fly.
Yeah.
And you ever see eagle, they're kind of, the way they're on the ground, they're, to me, they're like vulnerable. Did you put them up there in the sky?
Yes.
Yeah. There's not much going to do anything to them. But you know, eagles can be driven, they can be affected by storms. Sometimes things happen and they get driven down, and they have to land or something like that. That happens. We all go through storms of life. But just get back up there and start soaring again. Amen. And so that's exactly what we want. Brother Daniel's talking about reset. You know, every morning is a reset.
Amen.
I know not everybody's morning people. I get up early, and all the spirits from the day before, they're not up.
Yeah.
It's quiet. It's a blank slate.
Yes.
Just like a child is a blank slate, right?
Yeah.
Your children is a blank slate, and you affect what gets written on that slate, on that chalkboard. But every day, it's a blank slate. You get up in the presence of the Lord, and you can begin to write upon that slate for the day of the presence of the Lord and His presence in your life for that day. And so we really appreciate the thing Brother Daniel said tonight, and definitely you should do what he said. Go and let people know you love them.
Amen.
You know, we get so busy in life, like he said, you're just trying to make a living, take care of your family, but sometimes you need to stop and just let your family know while you're doing it, that you love them. And so, I mean, enjoy us coming to church. You know, I said the other day, we don't have to come to church.
Right.
We get to come to church.
Amen.
But you know what? We get to know one another here. We get to walk this life together and love one another here. And guess what? We get to spend eternity together.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
So this is not the end of it. We're going to something much greater. Amen. And so we really appreciate those things that we've been with and said. We'll sing that song again. I pray you forgive me. I had an injury to my thumb, and I can't hardly hold this pick, so that's why I'm out of sorts with it. But anyway.